for the time, yeah. Let's take an afternoon drive. See, I've been working too hard and I wanna leave it all behind, behind me. Pushing and pulling, yeah, the world keeps spinning around and around, but I go with the flow, ain't nobody gonna get me down. Oh, no, no. See, I'll tell you a little secret about the way that love's gonna be. It's a super sexy girl just cause the logical ecstasy.
This is J.D. Doyle with Out Radio, and the song is called So Much Better. You'll hear more of that later, and it's the first single off the brand new CD by Levi Kreis. And regular listeners know that I love Levi's music, so he's back to tell us about his new album. Levi, your new CD is called Imagine Paradise, and what is different about this project compared to your last work?
The creative process was certainly different. All 12 songs are personalized custom written theme songs for some of my most generous Kickstarter backers. So I got to delve into the lives of some of my friends and fans that I've known for years and get to hear what their story is about, find a way to speak about what their life experience is and do it in a way that I hope all of us can relate to.
How did you set that up? How did you make this sort of process happen?
Many of them I got on the phone and sat and had conversations with for a couple of hours. Some of the backers were more okay with sending an email or two about what they might like. It varied from person to person. My goal was to try to discern something specific about it, but then I felt the responsibility to sort of create a glass half full experience with the song that I would write for them. And ultimately I did write about 50 something songs and pared it down to the 12 that I thought was the best representation of their story and also a best representation of what my own musical vision was.
And kind of the premise of your Kickstarter campaign was though to solicit the stories.
Yes, sir. I did. I was very excited about approaching the entire project from a more community-driven type of thing. Even all the incentives in the Kickstarter campaign, I tried to think about what would be the most interesting give back, not just asking for, you know, fan funding and, you know, throwing a credit in a sleeve. I really wanted to find a way to make it something that was very lasting, very special, something that they can remember forever.
I know your original campaign goal was $15,000 and you raised over four times that much, and that's pretty incredible.
Big surprise. Big surprise to me. I was just floored. But I think that what it really provided me to do, you know, every cent went to the creation of the album. It provided me the freedom to really try to approach my craft in a way that I had the time to hone my songwriting craft. I had the time to really challenge myself to write the best songs possible. I had the opportunity and the time to challenge myself to make the best vocals I had made before and to bring a lot of personality to the recording. I think it's a rare thing for a lot of us independent artists. Oftentimes we have our list of songs, we have a day in the studio, and we have to go in and knock it out. So to have this opportunity to actually challenge myself every step of the way to strive for a level of excellence that I haven't done before was really what the experience was for me.
Sounds like, well, you could say, oh, well, you know, I think I should have done that song a little differently, and you could.
And I did. I did, certainly. Matter of fact, the duet that I did with Stan Harris started out as a completely different song, something a little more that you would hear from Usher on the March Madness playoffs, you know, like a big anthem-y stadium type of song. And while it was attractive, it didn't feel true to my soul as much. So I began to think about it and revamp it entirely. The freedom to be able to go back into the studio, reproduce it, bring Sam Harris into it, rearrange the vocals, and redo the entire thing. That's a very rewarding process to be afforded.
Okay, while we're talking about that song, we might as well get to the questions I had for it. I've been a big fan of Sam Harris for a long time, and what a treat it must have been to do a duet. And how did that happen?
I loved working with him so much on this album. He asked me to be a part of a New Year's show of his on, I believe it was the 2011-2012 New Year's, back in Los Angeles, in North Hollywood. And so having the opportunity to work with him there, we then created this thing called the Leading Men of Broadway, which he directed and created, and I got to star in, along with a couple of wonderful other singers. I was currently working with him while I was recording the album, so it sort of, at first, a fun suggestion to my producer. I said, wouldn't it be a blast if I was able to have Sam Harris on this album? And he goes, that'd be awesome. And then we didn't really think about it again until I came back to it a week later and said, what would you think if I asked him? I mean, do you think he'd say yes? Do you think he'd be into it? And I just bit the bullet. I asked him. And I was really surprised to find that he came to the table and came to the table with such a joy. I mean, he brought a lot of creativity to the process.
Well, he's an old hand at this.
Yes, he is. And I learned a lot of things from working with him, too.
You both recorded the same song.
Yes.
We're not going to hear that song. It's called I Can't Make You Love Me. But
He recorded that song as well?
Yes.
Oh, I have to immediately go hear this.
It's gorgeous. Just gorgeous. One of my favorite versions. You can't touch Bonnie Raitt, but it's a wonderful version.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But again, I'm not going to play that. That's from an older album. I have one more comment about the song. The song with Sam is called It Ain't Over. And this is an obvious comment, but the song's slow intro kind of sets you two up for a Barbara Donna duet.
Yay. Yes. I had a lot of reference points in the creation of this album. And all the reference points were things that have lived in my CD collection and in my iPod for many, many years. This is the stuff that I enjoy listening to. I've never really had the opportunity to do an album that was a style of music that I listened to on repeat. That late 70s, early 80s disco-infused R&B felt like previous albums. I created more from the aspect of what I thought was relevant at the moment to radio, relevant to press at the moment. For instance, The Gospel According to Levi is very reminiscent of the success that Kelly Clarkson was having at the time with Since You've Been Gone. Where I Belong is very reminiscent of the success that Gatton DeGraw was having on radio. But this album was the first time I decided to do what got me off, what actually gets me excited, the kind of genre that I listen to on repeat in the gym and at my computer and driving and everywhere that I go. So Donna Summer, she was one of them, you know, and to be able to envision that It Ain't Over with Sam Harris to be that kind of dramatic introduction, that homage to Donna and Barbara, it was just so much fun.
Oh, my listeners, we'll hear that immediately, and here's the song, a duet with Sam Harris, It Ain't Over.
But they could never break me alone. in the dark, there was something inside. I know who I am, and I made up my mind. So here we are now. Let the games begin tonight.
Imagine Paradise appear nowhere in the lyrics on the album. How did you pick that title?
It was a byproduct of a lot of metaphysical studies. You know, the quality of life is dependent on where we spend most of our mental energy. So why not imagine paradise? You know, paradise can be mine to the degree that I can imagine it. It also refers to the fact that I really wanted to try to bring a hope and a positivity to every song. It's a very upbeat, joyful album, and I wanted every listener to think that regardless of whatever circumstances they're dealing with right now, that they can press through that by focusing on the positive aspects before them rather than continuing to accentuate the negative aspects. So that's kind of what I was wanting to accomplish with that.
Let's get to some more of the particular songs. And I'll share that when I listen to a new CD, I like to play it in the car and deliberately not look at the liner notes or the lyrics or anything. I just wanted to kind of roll over me naturally. And on several songs, I got a late 70s dance music vibe. Took me back to the disco days and reminded me of, remember the song TSOP, The Sound of Philadelphia?
Kind of, I love that.
It took me in that place, but in an updated and, I think, better produced way.
Mm. There could be no better compliment, JD. That is exactly what I was trying to conjure. You know, also, I was fascinated by the most recent album by R. Kelly, which came out about the time I was wrapping up my own production of this album. And I was so surprised to find that where I was living, like the Sound of Philadelphia, like you're talking, is where he committed his entire new album to. And I was like, holy crap, this is sort of validated the ideas that I had to have someone who I respect so much as that art, the musician, come out and borrow from that silly sound that you're talking about. Yeah, I hope to learn even more about the impact that music has had, the nuances of it, and I really think that from here on out, I might stay in that space because it feels like a really comfortable fit.
Okay, well, here's one of the songs. There's a song where, if I understand it, you gave someone your boogie and it just didn't work out, so you want to move on, but before you can, you need to take your boogie back.
Taking back my boogie. Yes, and that was actually written for a backer named George, who, you know, him and I have that in common. Men who have not necessarily seen the value of who we are, and we extend ourselves too far, and you get to a point where you're like, why am I wasting my time with somebody who does not see the value of who I am? Screw it. I'm going out to affirm the fact that I am fabulous. And that's exactly what this song is attempting to do.
You see, there are times when you really got to give love a try. Oh, but y'all, there are times when you really gotta shut them down. But why am I not surprised? You say you're working late again. Do you know how long I've been waiting for your love? Every time I don't know what
better. You got to know that it's time that I've been taking it back. Hey, watch me roll with it. Put on a show with it. You got to know that it's time that I've been taking it back. Hey, watch me roll with it. Put on a show with it. You got to know that it's time that I've been taking it back. Hey, watch me roll with it. Put on a show with it.
I know my skills are addictive, but you gotta understand something. I'm Mr. Right, not Mr. Right Now, and I'm tired of your games. So this is what I gotta do.
I gotta be moving on.
I teased my listeners at the opening of this segment with just a bit of the song, So Much Better, and now I'd like to talk about it. One thing, I love the introduction to it, and listening to this one in particular in the car, I could swear before the lyrics started that you were going to break into Ain't No Mountain High Enough or I'm Every Woman.
That's great. See, I love that parts of this album are conjuring those kind of memories for you, because that was such a huge intention of the creation of this album.
Is that the first single off the album?
It was the first single. It was released in March. It did really well overseas in the UK and Australia, and I had the support of you and other LGBT radio stations here in America. The great thing about it is it's still playing all across the country in cinemas and retail outlets and gyms and other places where people are continuing to discover that song. So I've been real pleased with the life that it has. People seem to have actually listened to it and then tried to hunt me up and discover my music, which is, I guess, the point of having a single. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, I asked you about the feeling it gave me, but what about the song itself, the lyrics?
It was inspired by a backer named David McCormick, who is from Nashville. Wonderful guy. He was actually one of the backers who didn't have a lot of information to offer. Matter of fact, he told me that, "It's okay, babe. I just wanted to support the album. You don't have to write a song about me." What I do know about David is that he and I have in common our obsessive workaholic side, which probably does not stop to release those things that are beyond our own control. I gather from him that he's much of a control freak like I am, and a perfectionist, and very good at what he does because of it.
Oh, but, you know, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's kind of nice to remind people like David and myself, of course, that I have the courage to accept the things I cannot change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference and not worry about it if I can't.
And the song again is So Much Better.
take an afternoon drive. See, I've been working too hard and I wanna leave it all behind, behind me. Pushing and pulling, yeah, the world keeps spinning around and around, but I go with the flow, ain't nobody gonna get me down. Oh no, no. See, I'll tell you a little secret about the way that love's gonna be. It's a super sexy conscious cosmological ecstasy.
Levi Christ, and you were listening to Out Radio.
I have to ask about Love Revolution, not only because I'm a fan of Q-Boy and I've met him, but because it's likely your most political song.
Yes, yes, it is. And I really am grateful for Q-Boy bringing a specific slant on what, as you know, I am always a more general, universal songster. So I really went to the song, I really went to Q-Boy and I said, I want you to write this bridge and I want you to be as specific as possible and represent our LGBT community, especially as it refers to those of us in our community who have lived through the outbreak of AIDS and HIV and ACT UP. And yes, it's a song about general equality, but more importantly and most specifically, it is about what we have had to do, what we have had to face, what we have had to go through as a community. And I think that, you know, looking back on our history, it is so rich with victories, and we have accomplished so much, but there's still so much yet to do. However, I think a lot of times our young people, because they are comfortable walking down Boys Town holding hands with their partner,
they don't know where we've been.
They don't know where we've been, but I think they also live in a bubble and don't know that we still have somewhere to go.
Yes.
And just because we're comfortable does not mean that we should get complacent. You know, being a Southern boy, I can tell you, there are so many areas of our country that don't know the kind of freedom that our metropolitan young people do. So Love Revolution says, keep it alive. Basically, young people, get off your ass. Let's get out and understand that we are still the Love Revolution that the world needs to see. And that's exactly what I wanted that song to be. It was initially inspired by a gentleman by the name of Richard Friend, who was a teenager during Stonewall. He immediately got to work to create organizations to support our mentors who were dealing with the outbreak of AIDS. And he continued decade after decade, poured his heart and soul into lifting up and supporting our rights and loving up our community. He is an incredible human being, and there was no other way to honor and represent his give in this world than to write a song called Love Revolution. Richard was a love revolution to a lot of people. So that's how that song came about.
I feel alive.
Joint labels don't exist, boxes don't fit, tags don't care, there's no guest list. Our family tree is strong but broken. In the 80s our heroes were taken. HIV became AIDS, tree lost its leaves, RIP. LGBT history, so full of feet and so plain to see. Our pride in numbers was wide like Hummers. In all the colours we made those summers. We are the mothers, we are the brothers, we are the lovers, we are each other. Our contributions by persecution is a love revolution.
It's the all-natural solution. We are the love revolution.
We just heard Love Revolution with Levi and Q-Boy. Did you get to work with Q-Boy in person or was it done remotely?
I so wish that I could have worked with him in person because I kind of have an artist crush on him.
Oh, he's a cutie.
Oh, he's, and you know what? And he's such a good guy, too.
He is so underappreciated in this country. I feel so bad about that.
Oh, you know, I had been a fan of his for years, and I love that this song does conjure the old-school disco, but it modernizes it right away as well. He was the perfect choice for it. I think it's also a stretch for my fans to say,
yes,
Levi has a rapper on
mm-hmm.
his album.
Indeed.
So the sound of his voice, the way that he phrases and what he does is actually the perfect step forward for me. I think it was a perfect pair-off.
You know, since we've talked last, you won a Tony Award. I was cheering in front of my TV when I watched you win it. I would imagine that's affected you on a lot of levels. Could you share just a little of that?
I think that perception is that it probably changes life in, a little more than it actually does. You know, at the end of the day, it's back to basics, mm-hmm. you know? What's the next audition?
Yeah, well, time to get groceries.
What do you want to do? Time to get groceries, yeah. So, you know, I don't think that it changes things much. I've heard from an acquaintance friend of mine who was fortunate enough to be an Oscar winner and was really related to hearing her speak about how, yeah, people might think I'm being an Academy Award winning actress now changes your life. But the truth of the matter is you're back in the waiting line with other auditions and, you know, it's just business as usual. People think the phone is going to ring off the hook after that happens, but for me, the most significant thing that it did was it helped me be a little more confident.
Does it seem kind of surreal, like, did that really happen? Who was that?
It did. It did, because I didn't expect it. And of course, as you know, my history has always been about making music, ever since I made my first little album at 13 years old. So it wasn't a journey that I had spent a lot of mental energy sort of imagining or creating. It was a great job while I was in the middle of a divorce, while I was getting sober, and while I was just trying to clean up my life a little bit. And that little job turned into a really good payoff. So
back to the album. I think the song All Over Again is just about a perfect song.
And I confess, when I read the lyrics, I thought of my late partner, and it kind of made me a bit misty.
Oh, that's so sweet. You know, I thank you. I wrote that for a gay couple, Eric and Jason, who are in New York. And well before the album was even finished, I had finished their song. I sent it to them. And as soon as marriage was legal there, I went up and performed it for them at their wedding. And it was a very, very special memory for me, being able to bring a song that was commissioned by them, inspired by them, and actually begin to perform it for them at their wedding after they'd been together for 7 years.
Wow.
Very special. Very special song.
There must be 1,000 kisses given to you, no telling how many midnights. Lay next to you in the dark, tears at the thought of your love. It's never ending, somehow it's never familiar. Holding your hand, I still get weak when you touch me. Call me your man all this time, I'm still butterflies in my chest. Baby, I keep falling all over again. That will never stop falling all over again. That will never stop falling all over again. Falling in love. I wonder how many mornings looked in your eyes and still amazed what it feels like. The very first time that I stayed, the love that we made till the dawn. But here we are now, I guess I found that forever. When I found you, love that lives for a lifetime, love that is new every day. I swear I can say that it's true. Baby, I keep falling.
I love the cover of the new CD. Could you talk about it for the listeners and tell what was the inspiration for that?
I had several concepts for the album cover, many of which revolved around the idea of kind of putting a little montage of things that I consider to be paradise, whether it be palm trees and pelicans or whatever, whatever. But then I kept looking at the concept and I think this album is not really about me. And I really wanted to find a way to honor the backers of the album in a really unique and special way. I had this thought one day that, to me personally, the way that I sort of express something that means a lot to me personally is the few tattoos that I have. And I thought, oh, that's it. What if I were actually able to write on my body 400 backers, all of the names of everybody, just to basically as a gesture to say, this album is about you. I wanted to create something visually that you can keep forever, represent them on the artwork, and say, I'm wearing nothing but you, nothing but you. And so, albeit provocative, it was more of a gesture of creating a really fun and meaningful way to honor my backers.
Who got to do the lettering?
My girlfriend from San Antonio, Texas, Terry Johnson. And actually, we did it all day the first day and shot everything and realized we had made some great mistakes and it just wasn't looking good. Particularly also the particular body positioning in the first day was just probably not as tasteful. So we decided to wipe it all clean and redo it again on day two after we saw the pictures. And the next day we really got the particular look nailed down. Terry Johnson's done my photography for my entire career, and she's actually going to be releasing a book soon in October of all the portraits that document from the very beginning of my career up to that album cover.
I was fantasizing that your boyfriend did the lettering.
Well, I'm sure he raised an eyebrow on the phone that night when I told him that Terry Johnson was writing in Sharpie all over my body. But you know, it all feels like business, you know? It's just sort of like, it's another day in the office.
Which, it's very appealing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And here's another track from the album. It's called We Are Timeless.
On the wall, try to tell a story, but they don't say much at all. They cannot convey the glory of a love like yours and mine. All they do is capture time, and we are timeless. This journal by my bed has a million memories from the days when love began. So we were well beyond our 30s, but the words across the page, and they're always gonna fade. We are timeless. When you touch my face, oh, the soul behind these eyes knows what lasts forever and the passage of time. That's so very little power when it comes to you and me. I'm loving you eternally. We are timeless. We are timeless. Oh, but we got time. Ooh.
Okay, I feel a little bit guilty saying this out loud, but this is the fifth time I've interviewed you, and that's more than any other artist. And it's like I feel guilty because I'm neglecting other people. But, but we always have such a good time, so I can't resist.
Well, and I'm so grateful for it because, Jay, you're good at what you do. And I love that you help artists kind of tell the story of their album in a way. You're very nurturing in that regard.
Good, good. That's the mission. It's not me. It's the artist. It's the music. Get it out there. I have one more song I want to talk about. And I've interviewed you, I guess, almost a year and a half ago about your Live at Joe's Pub album. And you told me that album, in a way, gave you a sense of closure. And could you explain that? And I'm wondering what the new journey has been like since then.
What a great question, because it brings us full circle to where I earlier in the interview was talking about. This is the first time that I've actually created an album where my intention was to create something that I really enjoyed listening to, that wasn't about what I thought would be marketable. It wasn't about what I thought was even current. I mean, who would think disco is current, truthfully? It's not anywhere on the radar. So, yes, Live at Joe's Pub was a way for me to say, thank you for what I've done. I'm grateful for it. But from here on out, I make music that illuminates my own being, that makes my ears just want to listen to it over and over again. And I was quite grateful to have a couple of producers who really knew the references that I was bringing to the table. They knew that 1981 Aretha Franklin album, Get It Right. They knew the Shalimar music. They knew that stuff. And I was really grateful that they were able to bring what I love the most into what I do. And that is what it feels like. Finally, I feel like I can put a new tour together next year, sing this stuff for the rest of my life, and actually enjoy it, because it's more within the pocket of what's truest for me musically. And that's why I'm so happy about this new chapter.
Okay, well, that sets us up perfectly for the last song. It's called Let It Go. And that was the last song on the Live at Joe's Pub album, and it's the last song on the new album. So talk about it in particular.
It was the first song that was written for Imagine Paradise. Once I began to understand what I wanted from Imagine Paradise, I actually decided not to put Let It Go on there. It's different. I had a wonderful producer that helped bring it into the fabric of the album, I think pretty successfully, considering that the song is so different from the rest of them. But my backers, my fans who really fell in love with that song were rather insistent about that being on the album. And I listened, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I wasn't going to have it on here, but I will include it. And at the end of the day, I think that what it does is it gives the whole body of work just a slightly different hue, so that everybody has something on the album that they like the most. And I've seen that in the responses from fans and from customers who bought the album. So I'm really grateful that I've put it on there now.
Kind of like a bridge between your journey?
Yeah, it's a nice bridge. It's a nice bridge song from old to new, yes.
And again, the song is called Let It Go. Levi, thanks for the interview.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Let it all go. It's time to forgive you now, the one who matters enough. Let it go. Let it all go. It's time to forgive you now, the one who matters most. Baby, please don't. Let go, babe.